From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. U.S. President Trump and South Korean leader Moon Jae-in are set to meet at the White House today amid increasing skepticism of the chances for a successful U.S.-North Korea summit and doubts the meeting will take place as planned. Moon Jae-in is expected to try to reassure Mr. Trump that the summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un can lead to a historic breakthrough. In the meantime, South Korean journalists are finding themselves on the outside looking in. With more, here's Charles de la Desma from AP.
A small group of foreign journalists are in North Korea to cover the dismantling of the country's nuclear test site later this week, but without South Korean media initially also scheduled to participate. The eight South Korean journalists were excluded because Pyongyang has cut off high-level contact with Seoul to protest an exercise with the U.S. military, a protest the North's media has repeated, saying saber-rattling and dialogue don't mix. The dismantling ceremony itself is expected to be held in the coming days, depending on the weather. I'm Charles de la Desma.
The North Koreans have threatened to pull out of the talks with Mr. Trump, blaming what they call demands by the United States for unilateral nuclear abandonment. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Monday demanded greater changes in Iran that include dropping its nuclear program, pulling back from regional conflicts such as the civil war in Syria, and its support for militant groups like the Lebanon-based Hezbollah.
Thanks to Iran, Hezbollah provides the ground forces for the military expedition in Syria. The IRGC, too, has continued to pump thousands of fighters into Syria to prop up the murderous Assad regime and help make that country 71,000 square miles of kill zone.
The European Union said the Pompeo speech does not demonstrate how walking away from the 2015 nuclear agreement makes the region safer from nuclear proliferation. This is VOA News. Syrian forces have restored control over areas surrounding the capital of Damascus for the first time since the early days of the civil war in 2011. They forced the withdrawal of Islamic State fighters from the southern Al-Hajar al-Aswad district and the adjacent Yarmouk Palestinian refugee camp. This is yet another victory for the regime of President Bashar al-Assad. Stephen Zunis, the regional analyst from the University of San Francisco, said even opponents of the regime are glad to see the IS presence ended.
Which had terrorized quite a few people in the area. And, of course, the counterinsurgency campaign by the Syrian government and its supporters was also quite devastating.
The Syrian high command vowed to continue the fight against terrorists in the country. Some 200 people who traveled to Australia for the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games have applied for refugee visas, a sharp increase from previous estimates. Athletes from several nations, including members of some African national teams, disappeared from the Games village in Queensland last month. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Refugee campaigners believe some of the 200 Commonwealth Games athletes and support staff who are seeking asylum don't want to go home because they fear they'll be persecuted because of their sexuality. Another 50 participants whose visas have expired have yet to contact Australian authorities, but would still be able to apply to stay. Officials won't confirm their nationalities. Sarah Dale is a solicitor from the Refugee Advice and Casework Service.
We've heard lots of examples in the media recently, such as people who fear harm based on identifying as homosexual. In a number of Commonwealth countries, it is criminalised to be homosexual.
Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
In 2006, after the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne, 45 people either overstayed their visas or claimed asylum in Australia. Several dozen Afghan security personnel have died in several days of heavy fighting with the Taliban in some districts of the Ghazni province in eastern Afghanistan. A Ghazni provincial council official said Tuesday the Taliban have managed to take control of two districts after fierce fighting last night. The official said 20 police personnel, including the district police chief and the police reserve force commander, died in the fighting. Afghan government only confirmed 12 deaths. For more on all these stories, be sure to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Joe Palca, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.